It's Marketplace Tech for Monday, October 5th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. If you've got an account, you've signed into Netflix before from your phone or your computer, but have you done it from seat 14A on the plane? Probably not, without paying an arm and a leg for spotty Wi-Fi. That's about to change, though. House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, etc. will hit cruising altitude on Virgin America this week. As Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports, passengers on newer planes will be able to benefit from the new partnership.
The offer is only available on Virgin planes equipped with satellite Wi-Fi and ends March 2nd. It lets Netflix members stream content on their personal devices for free. JetBlue recently crafted a similar deal with Amazon Prime.
For companies like Netflix and Amazon, these partnerships are great sampling opportunities.
Henry Hardevelt is with Atmosphere Research, a travel industry research firm.
They are a way to introduce the product to an upmarket audience.
He says none of these deals would be possible with the air-to-ground system that many airlines use.
Satellite Wi-Fi, which Virgin America is installing and which JetBlue has, means more people can use it and you can do more with it, including streaming video.
But business travel expert Joe Brancatelli isn't convinced this will matter when people book airline flights.
You vaguely might possibly remember that you could see House of Cards on, you know, a Virgin America flight.
But he thinks travelers are still more likely to focus on price or frequent flyer programs. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Technology can put something really old in the win column. I'm not talking Windows 95 old. I'm talking really, really old. Like fossils of early humans and other humanoid ancestors found in a Siberian cave old. Denisovans were named after the cave where they were found. Recently, we learned more about them thanks to techie analysis of remains, some teeth, also the pinky bone of a young Denisovan teenager. Annalie Newitz at Gizmodo looked into the technology that's being used to figure out how old our species and other ancestors might be.
So some of it is from a very experimental method of geochronology, which is just a fancy way of saying dating objects using geology, looking at rocks and looking at the pieces of minerals around your remains. And that allowed scientists to date one layer in the cave as being about 170,000 years old. And in that layer, they found some teeth from Denisovans. So that allows them to surmise, they can't be sure, but they're surmising that now these Denisovans were hanging out 170,000 years ago, which is pretty long.
Experimental geochronology.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. There's actually a world-renowned geochronology institute in Berkeley, which I visited, not the one where they did this sequencing, but or where they did this dating, but it's pretty awesome.
Uh-huh.
They're dating in all different kinds of ways, and some of the ways do involve vaporizing rocks with lasers in order to read the constituent parts of the rock as it's vaporizing.
Sign me up to watch that for sure. Does this make you, I don't know, sort of like fantasize about the future of how this science could be done, especially as it relates to some of the newer technologies that are being used to compare different data sets at a site like this?
I mean, there's always the fantasy that we're going to hit upon some kind of dating technology that gives us a really exact date, actually not an estimate, where we can say for sure Denisovans were living alongside Neanderthals who were living alongside Homo sapiens, and we can actually figure out maybe what their relationships were even. We know for sure that Homo sapiens and Neanderthals had offspring together. Probably Denisovans and Homo sapiens did too. So when we look to the future and think about where we're going as a species, it helps to remember that, you know, historically there were a lot of different kinds of humans, and maybe in the future there'll be different kinds of humans as well. And I think that's one of the mind-blowing implications of all of this stuff.
Annalie Newitz, she is editor-in-chief of Gizmodo. Annalie, nice to have you back and talking about this crazy, nerdy, and fantastic finding.
Thank you for having me.
After the tragic shooting at a community college in Oregon last week, investigators and the media have been looking for clues about what motivated the shooter. And in 2015, those clues often come with the help of technology. Brian Hill is a forensic analyst at Computer Forensic Services in Minnesota, also a former detective with the Anoka County Sheriff's Office.
With any case, even especially this one, they're going to be going through the suspect's life. I mean, everything from mobile phones, any mobile devices, and then also his computers, and looking to see exactly what he was doing that led up to that point.
One set of clues may have come from the anonymous message board 4chan, where a user had referenced violence that would soon be happening at a school in the Northwest. Those posts were later taken down by site administrators. Hill says finding out if gunman Chris Harper Mercer was the author of the posts can be tricky.
Typically, to get an IP address, you need a subpoena. If you wanted to get actual content, that's where you'd actually get a search warrant. Setting them legal compliance, just like with any company, it's going to be up to them whether they reply to it or not. I know of some instances where it's easy to get, and sometimes they say it's not available, and you kind of have to take their word for it.
A reminder that anonymizing social media platforms and other corners of the internet can still be hard places for investigators to shine a light. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.